SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The only place in football where the offense is always on the field is on Moneyline. With the two best hosts in radio, Donnie Wrightside.
If anybody wasn't watching this, I don't know what you were doing.
And Kevin Walsh.
Forget act like you've been there before.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
We are live on a Thursday. It's a game day Thursday in the NFL. It is the New York Jets. It is the New England Patriots. We'll cover that and much more. Major League Baseball, boy, those wild card races are heating up. And watch out now, people. The Detroit Tigers just might have a say in the postseason after picking up their fourth straight win last night. Wild times. The best hour of your day is officially underway. It's Sirius XM Channel 159. It's Moneyline. Sonny and Kevin, Sports Grid on demand on YouTube. The chat box already lighting up here, and away we go, Kevin.
I think I saw this a few weeks ago, maybe, I don't know, like 2 weeks ago. I don't know if it's still true, but I believe the tweet was the AL Central as a whole is significantly under 500 when you combine all five teams' records, despite four of the five teams being over 500.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Chicago White Sox and their historically garbage season. What I think's interesting with that, though, is we play less divisional games than ever before, or at least in certainly recent years. So I don't even know if you can necessarily be like, well, the reason all those four teams are all good because they're all, you know, 15-0, 18-0 against the Chicago White Sox.
Yep.
The Tigers hunting down the Twins, the Royals have been garbage for like a week and a half as well. It's bizarre at the back end. The American League as a whole is bizarre. Again, the talking points, Donnie, and we know it locally, are that the Yankees are terrible. They're the first team to clinch a playoff spot of anybody in the American League.
Yeah, I'm excited. Like, I like what's coming down the stretch. I am rooting for the Royals, kind of, to get in there because I just think it's a fun team. It'd be a nice little storyline. But out of nowhere come the Detroit Tigers. And yesterday, Tarek Skubal was on the mound. And this is one of the games I talk about where sometimes, again, there's no traps in sports. But the sharps, Kevin, all over the Royals. Like, oh, let me get this. Best pitcher in the American League, minus 155 price. By game time, Kevin, it was a minus 130. Like, the sharps pounding it, thinking the Royals would win that game. End up being 4-2. Skubal was good, only pitched five innings. But that team certainly is one to be reckoned with. You take a look at the Mets and the Philadelphia Phillies with a big series going off tonight. The New York Yankees handling the Mariners. There's some really good stuff. And it's a shame because I know football is here. And I'm the same way. I love baseball, but I love football even more. Specifically the start of football because it's back in your lives. But we are going to have a great time come October watching these playoff games on Moneyline in the afternoon, setting the table for those. And it should be a lot of fun to watch. But here's what we want to do. Just hit the retweet button out there. Show is live. If you guys are out there listening and on X, retweet it as well. We'll grow. We'll have some fun. You see us now in the chat boxes. All the shows, the radio shows on the Sports Grid Network. You can find Sports Grid on demand. And I already see it, Kevin. There's 6,430 subscribers here. Last week, there was around maybe 6,300 subscribers. So people are watching. People are clicking. It's a new way to watch the show. And of course, you're listening on the radio, Sirius XM Channel 159, SportsGridRadio.com, Sports Grid Network, Sports Grid app. It's all there for you. Just a different, unique way to reach out to the host of the show, have some fun, and be interactive in the chat box. Let's keep that going. Now, I want to talk about something interactive, which is always near and dear, Kevin, to my heart. You know what that is? It's the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Yesterday, they released 167 players that will be eligible to be Hall of Famers should they be voted on. And it's always fun to me to take a look at some of these because, and I there's two ways to look at it, Kevin. Number one is the Hall of Fame is a business in itself outside of the NFL. So if you say there's only 15 Hall of Famers, we add one every 8 years, the people that go to see the Hall of Fame game, they're not going to go into that building and pay the $35 to see the Hall of Fame. They go, I already saw Ed Reed 15 times here. Nobody else is going in, and we don't have any ceremonies every single year, which if the true Hall of Fame, it should be like that. It should be like, we have to get a certain amount in. Here's what we want in. And also, God love you, the Veterans Committee, Kevin, where if you miss 20 straight years of being a Hall of Famer, then they put you in the Hall of Fame. Why do we do this? Can we just start there? Your thought process on the Hall of Fame, because me, I look at it as saying it's a win-loss issue, like a football game. Final score, you're either a Hall of Famer or you're not. Why do we play this charade where I got in on my 19th ballot chance? That means you're not a Hall of Famer.
I do. I've never liked the politics portion of the Hall of Fame. I'm more familiar with that in terms of Major League Baseball, when they used to make a big deal of kind of people getting in unanimously. Like, yeah. If I'm not mistaken, Jeter was the first one to get in unanimously, which is obviously ridiculous. Let me handle that with what's behind me. I'll handle the fact that Derek Jeter is obviously not the best baseball player in the history of baseball. Nobody would even attempt to argue that, right?
Yes.
So we know that that stuff is all very bizarre. What I will tell you, though, is, Donnie, was when it comes to the NFL, I feel like I can't figure out the criteria at all. Where in the NBA, like, I can give you – I know who's going to – I feel like I have a pretty good read, at least of guys playing nowadays, of who will and who won't get in. But, man, I go back to the Terrell Owens thing. A guy who is viewed as one of the five, at worst, best players in the history of his position.
Correct.
Could not break through the door because he was a locker room headache.
Yes.
It was Donovan McNabb voting? I don't understand what we're doing, Donnie. We can't do stuff like that. If one of the top three point guards in the NBA couldn't crack through, that would be equally as dumb as us putting too many people in. And that's why, to some degree, I don't ever find myself getting overly wrapped up in, ooh, we're putting too many people in, because these things have a way of also holding back guys that shouldn't be held back.
But and I understand, like, there's always going to be eligible guys. But the thought process of, I hope he gets in, it's like his last time around. Like, there are some players, and Major League Baseball does the same exact thing. Like, hey, he missed out on, it's his last year after 19 years and he gets in. It's like, the point, like, my argument against the Hall of Fame is, you should look at a player, Kevin. When I say Tom Brady to you, Hall of Fame or not, it's not even an argument. There is no bias against Tom Brady. You don't like the guy. Everybody will say, that's the best quarterback I've ever seen in my lifetime. He is getting in. Walter Payton of the Chicago Bears. Emmitt Smith of the Dallas Cowboys. Are they Hall of Famers? You look at the numbers, you look at the success. There are no arguments against. So that's what I get upset with, because if you're having and saying, all right, let's just say, like, up on the list this year, Sean Alexander, Terry Allen, Jamal Anderson, Tiki Barber. Like, I'm not even using some of those players, because clearly some of those aren't Hall of Famers. They're just eligible and they had decent careers. You put them on the ballot, I understand. But, like, just say Tiki Barber, who was a solid running back for the Giants. Like, never in my life did I look at Tiki Barber and say, that's one of the best running backs I've ever seen. He's a quality running back during his time, but that's it. But I have a feeling like Tiki Barber, and again, it's not even to say it's going to happen. In 20 years, when he gets to the veteran committee, go ahead and put him in here. Like, the veterans committee should not be there, because they're not correcting errors, Kevin. It's not like, you know what? We never actually had this guy on the ballot. Ooh, whose oversight was that? Let's put him in the veteran committee to see if he can get in. Like, no, you had like 20 years to make it and you didn't. Therefore, you're not a Hall of Famer. And I don't even understand, Kevin, like, first time ballot. Like, some of those guys go in automatically. Peyton Manning, first time Hall of Fame ballot. Like, nobody's going to argue that. But if you don't get in after five times, you're not a Hall. I'm sorry. You're just not a Hall of Famer. And you might be a great player. You're just not one of the best to ever play. That's all.
What I would say, though, and I guess this is where the business comes of it, right?
Yeah.
So you take Eli Manning, who I know my whole life I've heard is Eli a Hall of Famer, as a debate, right?
Yes.
Where Eli, if I don't understand how someone's answer changes unless we go, hey, we need another name to be a Hall of Famer. Like, we actively, like, we need the New York quarterback who won two Super Bowls, like, get him in. My opinion has changed. I think he's a Hall of Famer now. And I guess that's where the business end of it would keep him on the ballot. If he doesn't, I don't know when Eli will get in. I assume he'll get in. I assume Eli Manning will end up in the Hall of Fame.
I do. I don't think he's an actual Hall of Famer. And that's not even a bias. All done, he's an Eagles fan. Nonsense. Like, when I look at Eli Manning and I say, quarterback is supposed to be the elevated position. What was his record? Oh, he's about 500. Yeah, that's directly on the quarterback. Absolutely directly there. But we'll find out who's getting it. I always think it's just an interesting topic when those names come out of who should be in. It's Moneyline. It's a Thursday. It's game day. Let's talk Jets next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yes, of course it is underway. I had a little Hall of Fame talk. Why? Because it's a hot topic. It's the NFL. It's just what we do. But if we are looking tonight at this football game, it's a very interesting one. I use this terminology. I don't know if it's going to be an exciting football game, but certainly there will be some intrigue to this. Now, typically when we're betting props, many of us aren't betting unders here. It's not necessarily because it's not fun to cheer on unders. Your just mind is more set to say, okay, the guy's 32 and a half. I'm going to watch an entire football game hoping a guy doesn't catch two passes there. And saying, okay, one breakout play, you can get that in one catch and have an easy night. Putting that aside, it's a 38.5 and it's a 6.5-point favorite. That favorite is the Jets, and that total, again, is under 40 points. There are some incredibly low prices out there on the market. But if we do start, Kevin, forget about the player props, let's just say, passing or rushing. If we look at the touchdown market, it's crazy. It's 38.5 tonight. Breece Hall, like nobody theoretically, Kevin, should be a minus money price, but yet we have Breece Hall at a minus 170 in a total that's in the 30s, which is incredible. The next closest guy is plus money, and it's Ramondre Stevenson. You figure those would be the two lead dogs, just the way these two teams have operated over the first couple weeks of the season. But the wide receiving market, like Alan Lazard, best friend of Aaron Rodgers, is plus 370 to catch a touchdown pass. You take a look at, you know, Garrett Wilson, lead dog in that boot, plus 145. Forget about it. If a wide receiver catches a touchdown here for the New England Patriots, Osborne 6-1, Polk plus 650. Are you kidding me tonight with some of these numbers?
Yeah, everything looks awesome other than the Breece Hall price, right? As far as the but here's the thing, Donnie, at minus 125 or better, you're betting Breece Hall, right? You're like, oh, no, he's getting in. Minus 130.
Like a parlay piece, again, if you're just looking at straight, yes, like a parlay piece, that's still, like Breece Hall would probably be my top dog there. But you're right about that. He's not unbettable at minus 170. Like Saquon Barkley had those same numbers, and he got in but didn't get in. It was overturned. Yeah. The Eagles, who knows what they were doing in the red zone. It probably theoretically should have cashed, and I would pay that price. Yeah. But just on a standalone bet, it is hard to take a touchdown prop in that minus 180 range.
It absolutely is. But I do think, so it's, in terms of what we've seen through 2 weeks, though, it's not an unfair number. As he scored a rushing touchdown in week number one, he caught a receiving touchdown in week two, and there was another rushing touchdown that went to Braylon Allen by mistake. It wasn't like Braylon Allen, you know, took a goal line carry off of his plate. And then if this is, you know, stuff that, you know, people out there like to evaluate, which I know I do, we're starting to get more of these, you know, data points. But so far, we've seen the Patriots allow their opponent's lead running back to score a rushing touchdown in each of the first 2 weeks. So if you're on a book that gets cute and offers a over half a rushing touchdown, you know, I know we've seen those before, Donnie, at some books. I would look that way for Breece Hall, assuming you get a plus price. I know you might say, oh, but he caught one last week to some degree exactly. Again, you have to know what you're getting into with that wager. If you could get a plus price on Breece Hall to rush one in, I don't hate that decision.
No, I don't. Because if you say, again, if you're just looking at the game overall, Kevin, everybody's plus 100. Where's your bet going to be? It's always going to be on Breece Hall. Number one, that's why he's favored to get the touchdown. But you figure the first looks in the red zone are going to be Breece Hall. And also, it is nice to see him catching touchdown passes out of the backfield. Usually it's pass, Kevin, right? Throw it 8 yards and you run it in yourself. He did a nice catch in the end zone as if he was a wide receiver last week. What do you got?
What's the Jets rushing touchdown price, the team price?
Ooh, you know what? It wasn't up there early this morning, but I bet you it's up now. Let me just log in here to
like if you could get minus 200 or better, that's actually the way to go.
It is.
Right? But I don't know what they're doing with something like that on a favorite.
Ooh, I don't. You know what's funny? They don't have those posted. They have the New England specials are rushing attempts, rushing yards, sacks, and defensive tackles. The Jets are rushing attempt, rush yards, sacks, and defensive tackles as well. So we don't have that market. Now I hope that's not an indicator, Kevin, of let's just say, you know, we finally ghosted that market, because that would be quite a shame. And the people have to go, I would never lay minus 240 for a team to score a rushing touchdown. Oh, yeah, I've done it multiple times, and it is very profitable there. Let me see some of the main props to see what we have. The game itself, yeah, you know what? They don't. I assume they're going to have these a little bit later. Because even in the match total specials, they're not even giving you the game, like just to say over 3.5 touchdown passes, over 2.5 rushing touchdowns between the two players, the two teams themselves. So that's something. Let me just check one more thing. Main markets. No, it's not up right now. It's not there. And by the way, I don't see there's some pretty good stuff on FanDuel for tonight's game. Live wagers, 50% boost here that we'll check into. I have nothing yet on 365 on anything that we have. It looks like they have get $10 for every touchdown scored tonight and so on. So I'm waiting on that. But no, that would be a fun prop.
I wanted to ask you on DK because, everyone has their group chats. DraftKings, Donnie, changes their amounts on these boosts like weekly, and I'm curious where you land on the DK boost board right now. I'm currently sitting at 40. 3 days ago I was sitting at 20. I had a buddy who was sitting at 10, but if they have a no sweat for me tonight, Don, that's $40, which is not bad for a no sweat. But I'm curious, do you still have the DK up and running? I'm just curious.
DKs are still 50, and I'm enjoying myself. I wish they were higher.
Really?
They were higher a couple of years ago. Yeah. So I've been 50 for the past 2 weeks now, and have been betting accordingly left and right. What do you mean? Don't tell me you didn't know that. I've been preaching
to DraftKings. Draft.
Oh, sorry. No. No. What? No. I don't have. No. I don't gamble on DraftKings.
I knew there was a disconnect there because usually every time I bring up DraftKings, you kind of be like, don't even make me log in and find out like how much they're disrespecting
me. Honestly shouldn't be that way, but like it's saying like, hey, Don, like again, when I get sometimes I will get emails from other books I haven't used in like a year. Hey, Donnie, free $10 wager. It's like, it's not even worth logging into your site to get your free $10 wager tonight. And it would be so simple to spend 30 seconds and bet it, and you probably forget it. Maybe check, oh, look at it, I got $20 in my account.
Yeah.
It's not even worth it to me because you're right. It's really just the disrespect of it's not worth my time. Or risk-free bet tonight on FanDuel, $10. It's like, okay, I'll probably put a parlay together for the $10, but you have to at least give me 50 to get the juice going on the profit boost. Because then you're talking about, okay, a $50 wager can pay you back $200. Now I'm interested. A $100 wager, like 365, now you can really get busy. But boy, I was snake bitten on Monday night. And tonight, we're going to find a way to get those snake bites out and make some money. I know it's not a high price tonight, but maybe we'll find a good solution. It's Moneyline. We'll be right back after these words.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, we're running Mob Deep today. We are running Mob Deep.
Yeah.
Brooklyn, no, Queens finest, right? Queensbridge, Brooklyn. Where are they from?
Queensbridge. Now, I was just scrolling along.
Go ahead.
I got to tee up.
Hold on, before you tee me up, real quick. I'm all on right, DK. Right. I logged in. I hit opt in on this.
Which
I don't know if it's even letting me opt in right now. For some reason, I keep clicking the button. It's not doing it. But I don't see anywhere where it tells me.
What you'll have to do is then,
No.
I know that this drives you crazy, but it does make me laugh. So just click on Donnie like Jets minus -6.
No, they sent me here. It's $10 because when I hit the option, they sent me an email behind the scenes. Apply to the Patriots Jets game on 9/19. Receive your wager back bonus bet up to $10 if it loses. So, and again, I don't gamble at all on DraftKings. It's been a really long time since I even placed a wager of more than like $50 there. So it's been a while.
All right, so let's say that got you hot, and then now you can take it out on the topic. Yep. Maybe you've already hit this. I just saw the other day the WNBA was going to expand.
Oh, okay.
I just 2026 they will begin their Portland, Oregon team.
Yes,
is that the most untapped market for a league that doesn't even have 15 teams yet? I think they're at 14. Portland, Oregon, is that where they needed to be, Donnie? Yeah,
here's the problem with it, right? Because usually you would look at the cities that are big basketball mavens. Like, let's use Philadelphia, right? Love the Sixers.
I was just going to say.
It's a sports town. I actually think if they got a WNBA team, as much as I don't really like the WNBA, I'm starting to come around that it's a that is a sport that looks like it does have a future because of the young talent that's coming in, the way they're playing, they're hyping up rivalries. It's the way you're supposed to do it. Maybe it's just the Caitlin Clark effect where if she decided to retire at the end of the year, would we not watch anymore? We probably would still because I think the level of play is much, much better than it was a couple of years ago. And on top of that, and you can build on that and make some money. But when you look at like the regionality of some things, right, you're putting them in Portland. Like if you're the WNBA, isn't it better like you've just got charter jets, you keep it in the cluster market, maybe you're having back-to-back games, you're only traveling, like you're going to say like the Liberty are on a back-to-back from New York out to Portland. I just don't know if that market was begging for it, as they're saying. We got to get that Northwest footprint involved in this. But you're not, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah, Donovan,
I don't
know. They already have a team in Seattle.
That's what I mean. Yeah. It's like
they're peppering the Northwest.
Yeah.
Like you have one team.
Not even a big market.
In Texas.
Not even a big market. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like you have one team in Texas.
How about like Miami? A women's team.
That's I know Miami can be tough for attendance, but in turn, I mean, I'll tell you right now, the South Beach come up with any team name you want. The South Beach Warriors.
They call them the Bikinis, right? You know what I mean?
Well, now see that. Now you'd run into big issues with that, Donnie. We're going to strike that right from the record.
I'm seeing
Philadelphia, Miami, San Antonio or Houston. Yep. What am I, even like doubling down, I know that they maybe wouldn't want to do that, but like a second LA team, a second New York team, even Donnie, you can give a go. I'm just very surprised. Boston? Like, I mean, you know, I'm just thinking now, like you mentioned basketball hotbeds, right? Yeah. Like, you don't want to give Boston a crack at this here? You know, I don't know. I just find that so bizarre, man. So bizarre.
Like, I know, like, it would be really cool if, like, a city just had, and some cities technically do have that, like the Pittsburgh Penguins, Pittsburgh Steelers, Pittsburgh Pirates, same color schemes. Like, I love that. I think that's really cool. And again, most cities don't actually go to that because, you know, maybe too many teams, just doesn't look right, individuality, I understand. But I think the WNBA would really be able to play off that. Like, put a team in Boston. Like, you're not going to call they're not going to call the Lady Celtics, like it's a high school team. But if you put the girls team up there, green and white, like, wouldn't that sell? Like, put a team in Philadelphia. Make them with the blue jersey, the red jersey, the Philadelphia Bells or something like that. Like, that would really, like, the branding purposes from the NBA to the WNBA, I think would really work there at this point. But also, Kevin, you know what I'm worried about with the WNBA? I think they have a nice niche right now. Here's what the issues come in. Is there enough talent, Kevin, in the women's basketball, sport of women's basketball, to fill out these expanded rosters? That's the question I have.
I think they're going to time it. So it's interesting. I think there's a chance they'll be able to time it right because the college game is getting better.
Yeah.
But to your question, Donnie, right? And I think two more teams they could get away with. But super teams can be good, right? So that wouldn't kill if they all of a sudden started loading up some of those rosters.
Yep. Now look at that. Akbar out there in the chat box loved my team nickname, Kevin. Why did you not like my team nickname for the new Miami WNBA team? Let's get it popping, baby. It's a Thursday. The best hour of your day. Of course it is. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Chat box firing away. The boys are hot, having fun. Sports Grid on Demand. Thanks for joining us there, livening up the show here, and also listening on SiriusXM channel 159. It's Moneyline. It's Donnie and Kevin. It's the way we get down in a big football game tonight. And let's keep it in this football game, Kevin, because if I ask you now, sidewise, 6.5 plus for the Patriots, minus for the Jets. Where's your first thought there tonight?
I am on the Jets at -6 here. I look at this number and I think, okay, we are seeing the books start to move New England with their first two performances resulting in covers at worst to push in that second game against Seattle. And we're seeing the Jets off of a 7-point road victory because it was competitive, maybe drop a little bit here. You think back to week number one, Cincinnati's a 7.5, 8-point favorite. Now we flip here on a short week.
mm-hmm. and you get the Jets under a touchdown. Now, there are some injuries. Most notably, Jermaine Johnson yes. unfortunately tears the Achilles. Pair uh-huh. that with a C.J. Mosley questionable tag. I feel mm-hmm. like he plays, but all of a sudden, you could have a no linebacker room for the Jets, which would lead to some concern. But getting 6 points, Donnie, now for me, it would not be enough to get me to New England. I think the Jets can do similar to what they did to the Titans, where a touchdown victory doesn't always have to be dominant, right, DRS? And I think mm-hmm. we see the New York Jets come out here, man. This is such a big game for this football team. I mean, yeah. getting that win against the Titans takes off some of the pressure that they would have had. Imagine they were 0-2. I probably would have backed off if they were 0-2. But Aaron Rodgers has been waiting to play a full game in front of these fans for a long time now. And the fact that he's going to be able to do that here tonight, I think you get a very, very dialed-in New York Jets team here, Donnie. And I'm laying the 6 points.
I saw some bad bets out there, like taking Aaron Rodgers to score a rushing touchdown, like his Kirk Cousins out here in the streets. So I don't know if we should take those type of wagers tonight. We'll get to that in just a second. But here's the thing with New England for me, and it's kind of a tough handicap because I like their ground game. And actually, mm-hmm. you know, say what you want about Gerard Mayo. He's playing the cards he's been dealt. A very bad roster that goes, how can I be competitive and even win football games? They went on the road to Cincinnati and won, and also they were home and lost in overtime to Seattle. So two games where they really came to play, and they were in it to win it. I look at this week and say, okay, are we going to keep it on the ground, which is the best way to win? Yes, we are. But when you talk about injuries, yes, the Jets do have some on defense. That offensive line is ravaged, Kevin, now, for the New England Patriots. Coming into the season, they weren't that great of an offensive line to begin with. Right. So when we look at Ramondre Stevenson, I also say, again, like we know what's going to go through him. His numbers, let's just call it mid-60s on the ground. If you think he's going to get 15-plus carries, you should be betting that over 64.5, 65.5. The question I'm running into is that offensive line going to be shut down by the Jets, but also by the Jets? Week number one, smashed on the ground. Week number two, Tennessee had success on the ground. So that's what I'm struggling with right now. Is it just so simple when you say, Donnie, don't outsmart yourself? The one guy you know you can count on tonight is Ramondre Stevenson. Maybe it's an anytime touchdown because they'll hand it off on the goal line. Maybe it's just getting all those carries needed here. But how do you approach Ramondre Stevenson? Is it just too simple? Because the wide receivers, Kevin, they're all like 30 or less yards as starting receivers with 6-to-1 prices to score touchdowns. I don't get it. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, look, Hunter Henry last week was top dog by a lot in terms of the passing game there. But I actually did play Ramondre Stevenson in that passing game over 14.5 yards. Yeah. If you look, he has had 3 catches in each of the first 2 games, I believe it is. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, he's averaging about 3 yards per reception, which is half of what he averaged last year. His receptions prop tonight's 2.5, juiced to, -160 range. So I look at it tonight, a guy who had 5 targets last game. I also think, Donnie, this could be the game they're most behind the eight ball, right, since I'm on the Jets -6. So I think we could see more pass-catching reps here. If I get those same 5 targets to Ramondre Stevenson, I think he can take and make one man miss and get me 10 yards on just one of those. And then all of a sudden now we're in business here. So I'm playing Ramondre Stevenson on a little bit of a buy low over 14.5 receptions.
Yeah, I think it makes sense because I think the game is going to work through him. I did see some interesting stuff here when I was going over the game specials, popular and featured. Oh, that number dropped significantly. Did it or go higher? Hey, look at this one, Kevin. Because again, we have the lower scoring numbers in games, like 38.5 as opposed to 52.5. They really give you crazy stuff. Each team to kick a field goal and score a touchdown in each half, Kevin, is 36-1 tonight. But how about this one? Each team to score a rushing touchdown and a passing touchdown in each half is 280-1. Where's crazy. The other one I saw, too? Because I'm trying to see. There was others that were a little bit more intriguing as well. Let me just see. Game specials, features. Let's go all the way down the list. 95-1, Patriots special teams. That wasn't it. They might have taken it down. I saw one that I thought was absolutely crazy. Rushing touchdown each, that's not it. I think they took it down. Oh, here we go. This is much lower. This price is much. It's still a 210-1 price, Kevin. Either team, not each. This is interesting. Either team to score a rushing touchdown and 2 passing touchdowns each half. Not each team, Kevin. So theoretically, 1 rushing touchdown per half and 2 passing touchdowns in each half. Now, great, it's 38. It's a long shot for a reason. But let's just say in that first quarter, Kevin, you get a touchdown pass, and then you get a rushing touchdown late first quarter. You need one touchdown pass the rest of that half, and then it's almost like a fireball bet in the second half. Because if you put $10 down on that wager, it pays back $2,100. That's crazy. Just even if, like, for a little bit of, like, throw down $5. What is it, over a grand, right? $1,000. $5 pays you $1,000 back on that wager. It's not that outlandish.
It's two passing touchdowns and one rushing touchdown in each half for the game.
Correct. And it doesn't matter who scores them. You don't need each team to participate. You could have two touchdown passes and Breece Hall in the first half, and Aaron Rodgers do the same thing in the second half with Breece Hall. It doesn't even have to be both teams combined. Or excuse me, both teams each participating, I should say.
Yeah, the problem is it's the game we're talking about, though, right, Donnie?
Well, that's why it's so high. That's why these numbers are like,
I know. But I guess my point is, so Donnie, like, what do you think that's going to be on Monday night? When you think about those two games we're going to have, right? Jacksonville, Buffalo, and Washington, Cincinnati.
50%. Cut in half. Cut in half, absolutely. 100-1, max, even lower than that.
But that's my... Yeah, like, I wish I knew what it usually... Because you know
I've never seen it before. Yeah.
No,
I've never
seen it. Like, listen, my favorite, 504s used to be with the bad quarterbacks, quite frankly.
Yes. Where are those? A quarterback throwing a touchdown in each half, Kevin. I've made my bones in that for years, and they took it away from me.
What I don't understand is you would think that we clean them out on a 504 or the 1-1s to the point where they're like, listen, we can't bring these back. We know they're free. They're not free. No. Right. Okay? I'm still trying to figure out how we correct what happened in that Jets-Colts game on that Monday.
Well, Kevin, how about this? Yeah. How about this? Hold on. How about this? Let me just type in one number here and hit a boost. You ready for this, Kevin? All right.
Mm-hmm.
Same bet. Either team to score one plus rushing touchdown and two touchdown passes in each half. My max is $50. I hit the boost, Kevin. $16,000 back.
Yeah.
$50 pays $16,000 back for me.
You know, sometimes it happens, Donnie, though, right? I mean, sometimes it's these low games where the madness comes in.
Yes.
Right? I mean,
listen, hear me out on this. I respect it. Like, hear me out on this. Like, and I'm not going to bet this because I don't want to waste my profit boost on this.
Why not, though? Just do it. You know people will love it. Blast it on Twitter. You know people will go crazy.
And then how this plays out tonight? I have everything in the bag except a rushing touchdown in the second half. It is first and goal from the 1 yard line, and there's a play action pass from Aaron Rodgers. He throws a touchdown. I'm crushed, and Lisa's laughing at me because somehow he had an Aaron Rodgers over touchdown pass at that point. That's how it plays out tonight, people. $50 to win $16,000. Oh my goodness here. My goodness. We'll be right back at the Moneyline. The fun will continue.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Fun is here, people. It's called Moneyline. It's a Thursday. It's game day. It's Donnie. It's Kevin. We have this is what we do. SiriusXM channel 159 and now also on Sports Grid on Demand. Go there on YouTube. Hit the subscribe button. Yep. Join in the chat box. Have some fun and let's get after it. Speaking of getting after tonight, we're in Justin Fields territory, Kevin, tonight. You know why? Jacoby Brissett, 163.5 is his passing prop. Your thoughts?
I'm not bothering. Well, you know what? Listen, it actually does make sense in that I think will be the first time he's actually going to need to throw the ball. Jacoby Brissett is a capable backup. He's a starter, but you know what I mean. He's capable of throwing the football here. It's not a bad look. But, and now that I think about it, like maybe I should, Jacoby Brissett alt props, Donnie. Could have, would have, should have been a look, right? Maybe something I'll consider as I look to play some other wagers throughout the day. I did just lock in some Breece Hall profit boost long shots.
Yeah.
One long shot, one straight wager, basically. I got him down a 10-1 for 120 plus rushing yards. I thought that was sense. worth a swing.
It does. I think it makes sense. It's I'm trying to determine, and like I don't know if I want to wait long enough for like the inactives to come out, because I am a little bit worried about that offensive line for the New England Patriots. But it's, as we always say, like opposite of what Joe Lisi thinks, it's easier to run block than it is pass block. So if your offensive line is banged up a little bit, you probably should be running the football just a little bit more, despite, you know, other thoughts out there in the street, man. We have, by the way, if anyone doesn't know the background, Pro Football Today, which is maybe the best show that we do, period, is Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., getting you ready for that NFL Sunday. And there are times sometimes we have some, it's contrarian approaches, I guess you could say, just to be kind at that point. But we had an argument where somebody's offensive line was extremely banged up, their tackles are down, and the thought process, like, you know what? Our tackles are down, our quarterback's struggling, let's get to the ground game. And there were opposing thoughts in there that said, absolutely not. That's the time where you throw 40 to 50 times and go up tempo. So there you go.
He screams at us. No, they'll go, just go cookie cutter then. Cookie cutter, lose the game 9-6.
And what was the final score in that game? 18-13. Of course, they slowed it down.
Right. I mean, yeah, very, very. It's very Lisi, though. You know, the best was we were doing the show, or I was doing the show on Tuesday, and someone, was it X-Man, I think, was like, I'm all over Florida State this weekend against Cal.
Yep.
And I'm like, man, I got to tell you, you know, there's a guy out there that I know likes it. Lisi appears in the chat box. It's like his ears perked up. He's like, whoa. And all of a sudden he's in there. Could be a sizzle, like what you're saying.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, look, he's absolutely locked and loaded, ready to go for some Florida State Cal.
I mean, Football Friday tomorrow, covering it all. There's going to be some, my favorite game of the week just might be Florida dominating Mississippi State. But that might be one of those profit boosts I will be using as FanDuel loads me up this weekend to have fun. If I gave you a free bet here, both prices didn't matter, Kevin. They were evenly priced at plus 100. Aaron Rodgers to throw over 1.5 touchdowns, or Jacoby Brissett just to throw one touchdown tonight, which way would you go? Again, right now it's plus money Aaron Rodgers, but it's two touchdowns. Right now it's Jacoby Brissett over a half of a touchdown, which is unbelievable. Use this as like minus 280. It's minus 160. Who does it? Who does Aaron Rodgers get two, or does Brissett get one, and which way would you bet it evenly priced?
I would say Brissett to get one because 100% of that game you're in the mix. You have 100% of the way there. You have an opportunity to cash that ticket. I would say Brissett would be my look of that combination.
Now let me tell you this, Kevin. You go on there and apply your boost, which is on that because it's under a minus 200. That's a minus 107 for Jacoby Brissett to throw a touchdown pass tonight. If you want to use your boost on that.
It's really not a bad look. Now remind me in terms of what the Jets have allowed this year. In terms of touchdowns, Debo ran it in.
They didn't throw. There was no touchdown passes week number one because I had Brock Purdy needed to throw one and he didn't get it. Okay. So they didn't throw any there. And Will Levis threw, I think, one touchdown in week number two.
Let me see. I'll pull it up. Probably the case.
I think it was one.
Yeah.
Like he threw one. Touchdown, one pick.
Ridley ran one in.
Yeah.
Every opportunity to throw a touchdown pass. Could be trailing, just a little trickery on the goal line. You know, the Ramondre touchdowns have been very close, so, you know, 2 yard line and in, I think. So I don't hate that look whatsoever, Donnie, when you slap the profit boost on it. I might wait to use it live, though, Donnie. You can, right? You don't have to do that pregame, do you?
Let me see here. Let me just check the tokens here. 50% boost any wager minus 200 longer maximum. No, I don't think it's a live wager, though. It doesn't say that.
When does it say it expires?
Profit boost, increase your payout. Profit boost can be all-purpose or restricted to specific. You can't combine profit boost. Visit expiration. It doesn't necessarily say that because last week there was a 50% boost on FanDuel to use during a live wager. This one doesn't specify that, so I don't know if you would want to wait and you'd miss it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that would drive me a little crazy, admittedly, if I did wait and miss. But I don't know. I have to double check. If I can wait and use that live, I will. Because I really do enjoy kind of, you know, fun. I got lucky hitting my Jalen Hurts live wager on Monday night. But I've always enjoyed the live wagers, Donnie.
They're great because because usually it's like if you had a preconceived notion, like if you didn't bet Jalen Hurts to start the game and it's in the second half, you have like triple the odds and then you boost it up. And it's like, okay, if we expected him to score, you still have a half to do it. And he got it done. If we look at wide receivers, and forget about again, because the numbers are off the charts for the Patriots, but they're there for a reason. Like, hey, I can't believe I bet Jalen Polk to go over 18 and a half receiving yards as a starter and he didn't get a look. Like, I got roasted on Monday night in one of my parlays because I just said, you know what? Jahan Dotson, you use a third round pick. He should step up. You know what? Britton Covey must be like out of Jerry Rice compared to him at this point for his usage rate on Monday compared to Jahan Dotson. But Garrett Wilson, 64 and a half. Last week, I had a boost on 365, which I needed 50 on the ground from Breece Hall. Got it. I needed 50 in the air from Garrett Wilson, and he got it. But he didn't get that till late on like a 30-yard catch. 64 and a half is not a much. And sometimes, Kevin, you look at the last week's games, and where was the thought process absolutely correct? Marvin Harrison Jr. to be involved in the game plan. He was a superstar right away because they wanted to get him the football. We'll talk about this after this break. Garrett Wilson, 64 and a half. Thoughts on his number and also his touchdown prop as if it's time to get your superstar young wide receiver into the mix. We'll be right back. It's Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Football show tomorrow will be a football Friday. I'll be back here on the network. I want to see more subscriptions here. I want to see people subscribe. 6.43 subscribers there, which is 6,430 subscribers. I want to see that number higher tomorrow. If you're watching on the chat box, Sports Grid On Demand, the new way to watch and listen to our radio programming here on the Sports Grid Network. That is the way to do it. Hit the subscribe button. Come in and say hello. Me. What, Kevin? We're focused on Garrett Wilson. 64 and a half yards tonight. Touchdown prop is plus money. Are you going to bite on any Garrett Wilson action tonight as the lead dog?
Okay. I'm on Garrett Wilson longest reception over 22 and a half yards. That's my Garrett Wilson play. Chase hit that. Metcalf hit that against New England. Wilson hit that last week. So I'll be there. Can I just pull something from the chat box that was that was mentioned? I know you already addressed. Sure.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Someone asked you, hey, Stafford to Miami.
All right.
Yes.
Which I know you said they can't afford. So you mentioned something the other day, and I didn't pick up on it in the moment enough of how, and I agreed with you. Last year, we thought that the Rams would be so bad that at the deadline, Stafford, Donald, Kupp, they'd all just find new teams, right?
Why?
That's what we thought.
Correct.
Well, sometimes you can be a year early. Donald's retired. Kupp's injured. Puka's injured. Do you think there's any chance we see Matthew Stafford? I mean, they're supposed to be 0-3. They're a huge dog this week at home to San Francisco. Any chance we see Matt Stafford traded out of L.A.?
It has to be the perfect scenario. Now, also, this scenario would never happen because these two teams are division rivals, Kevin. Brock Purdy goes down with an injury in week number four. Brock Purdy's making, what, $800,000 a year?
You can afford to
go out and say, first-round draft pick, Matthew Stafford, we'll absorb that contract, we'll keep it moving. But the Rams would never do that. Even though, as a Ram perspective, you're supposed to look at your own franchise, not the team down the street, and say, does this make our team better if I drop this quarterback because we're not good anymore and I need a first-round draft pick because I got to replace the guy? But those are the scenarios that I would look at. It's very hard to absorb those monster contracts
that you already have under center.
Like, if Tua never came to an agreement, Kevin, there would be so much smoke behind that argument right there because it's an AFC team. It's across the country. If the Rams are rebuilding,
I think I'm just like this, 1,000%
would say, yes, I will give you a first-round pick. Absorb that contract because I don't think Matthew Stafford is just going to be a six-game guy. He could play for another 2 to 3 years in this offense here and be very good. But since Tua makes all that money, $50 million a year and then adding, what, $40 or $50 million, whatever Stafford re-up for at that point, you just can't do that on an NFL team.
Yeah, and that's why I think you're totally valid in saying that Miami is not where this guy's going to end up.
Yeah.
Just financially, it's not going to work out that way. But the idea that Stafford could be gone, man, and this is where the NFL – and there's nothing they can do about it. But in the NBA, Donnie, we would know Stafford would be gone, right? Your team's terrible. Somebody will create a spot for you. In the NFL, well, I mean, do you trade a quarterback in week seven? Who makes that kind of move? But also, the last time the Rams were terrible, a lot of that was tied to a Stafford injury. The idea that Matt Stafford is going to go out there for 17 weeks of meaningless football is hard to imagine. The idea that McVay is going to go out there, to be fair, to and I know you can't trade McVay midseason. The Rams quickly losing a game they should have never lost on Sunday night are now all of a sudden watching their season absolutely implode right before their eyes.
And you know what the trigger of that was? If you see what they're doing with Cooper Kupp, Kevin, because typically we have an injury play. Puka Nacua is already down to like week number 9. The injuries to the offensive line, they're making a rational decision to say, you probably should put, like Cooper Kupp is in like a cast right now for a high ankle sprain. He's not coming back anytime soon. But they're saying, if I put him on IR, let's just say, Kevin, it's 8 weeks. In 8 weeks, we might be 1-8 and the season is over. So what's the point? But they're also saying to you, if he might have a quicker recovery and we can get him back in 6,
stop fucking around here.
We bite the bullet on that roster spot because maybe we still have a chance at, I don't know, outside at the wild card. If they were 1-1, Kevin, and said, you know what? Everybody's healthy. Puka Nacua is not here. Cooper Kupp's on the IR immediately saying, hey, kid, get better. We'll see you week 9. We'll still be in the mix at this point. They're so desperate now, Kevin. Yeah. You can't even put him on the IR.
No, 100%. And next week they go to Chicago. I know what we all think of the Bears. They're going to be underdogs in that game. 100%. And then the follow-up to that, Donnie, is Green Bay. Every expectation, Jordan Love is back for that football game, week number 5. I mean, people think Jordan Love might play this week. So, I know it's easy to be like, oh, 0-5, but this team's going to be favored to be at least 1-4.
Yes, 1,000% there. And I'm a year late on the Rams there at that point, and also a year late on the Saints. So I'm losing tickets this year when I had the great thoughts last year. Just should have waited one more year, and it would have certainly paid off much, much better. Thursday Night Football, the boys in studio, Pro Football Today. Make sure you join us tonight on the Sports Grid Network. Behind the Wheels of Steel, my man Chris, it's Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh. Tomorrow is a Football Friday. We will see you then.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.